Our scripture reading today is from Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. This is the word of the Lord.
It's the middle of summertime. It's a good time to revisit Psalm 1. During the summer, I enjoy regular walks, especially when I can get to a wooded area or walk along a stream. It refreshes my soul. And often, as I'm walking by woods and water, I'm on the lookout for a Psalm 1 tree. I wish that I could easily find a single ideal tree and clear blue water like the image that we are using for this service. But I'm more likely to see a whole clump of trees and a tangle of roots and murky water. Still, I like seeing the water in the trees, the fruit and the leaves, and I often take pictures thinking of this psalm. So you'll see some of those pictures in this service. Psalm 1. Psalm 1 is the first psalm in a whole book of 150 psalms, so it serves as an introduction to the Psalter, the collection of psalms that has long been the prayer book for God's people. The Israelites used the psalms in their temple liturgy. Prophets referenced psalms. Jesus often mentioned psalms. And for centuries, Christians have turned to the psalms to learn and practice faith-filled prayer. The Psalms show us how to talk to God in shouts of praise, in cries of lament and confession, and in songs of thanksgiving. Walter Brueggemann says the Psalms communicate how we find our bearings in the world. Psalms of orientation express how all's right with the world. Psalms of disorientation complain that something's messed up. Things are not the way they're supposed to be. And in Psalms of reorientation, we might emerge from a crisis scarred but ready to find coherence as things begin to fall into place again. The first psalm, Psalm 1, as you might expect, is a psalm of orientation. It shows us how the good life ought to go. It is also a Torah psalm, a wisdom psalm. Torah psalms extol the virtues of the law of God. The Hebrew word Torah here in Psalm 1 is translated law. Yet Torah often refers to the whole Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. These books tell the story of God's dealings with Israel. The books of the Pentateuch also contain the whole Jewish law, the Ten Commandments, which we read earlier in the service, and so much more. And Torah means instruction, and the Torah Pentateuch tells us how God's instruction and the story of God's relationship with Israel shaped them into a people, a community, who walk in God's way. So when Psalm 1 uses Torah, that word, it may have all of this in mind. We might also say that the whole book of Psalms become a rule for living, because they show us how to walk with God. one reason so many people immerse themselves in the Psalms. For instance, the Benedictine rule of life features praying the Psalms multiple times a day, a regular rhythm for living in God's Word. And many churches use a psalm every Sunday. A former colleague made it her regular summer habit to read through the whole book of Psalms every summer. Some summers I have also taken up that practice. So here we are in the middle of summer, a little late to begin a new habit, maybe? Or perhaps it's a good time to recalibrate, to take a moment to look around and wonder, what am I up to? Where am I going? What's feeding me? Could I go deeper? So let's dig into Psalm 1 and see what it says about how to live in relationship with God. It begins, "Blessed is the one." Blessed. A closer translation of the Hebrew word might be happy. Happy is the one. In Greek, the same is true, that happy could be used in place of blessed. So the Beatitudes that Jesus preaches in Matthew 5, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, blessed are the pure in heart, could also be translated, happy are the peacemakers, and so forth. And so Psalm 1 is like a beatitude, and we can think of being blessed, blessed, as being filled with happy contentment. Those Matthew 5 Beatitudes might be so familiar that we expect Psalm 1, blessed is, to be followed by some good character trait, like blessed is the one who is faithful or something. But instead, it immediately sets up a striking contrast. Blessed is the one who is not. And here we have the first vivid image in Psalm 1, an image of two ways or two roads or two paths. The two ways indicate the directions one might take in life, and they're characterized not by their terrain, but by the kinds of people that walk along each road. And the blessed one is the person who does not travel the first way. Along that way travel the people. One translator calls them the faithless rather than the wicked, because they do not depend on God. They rebel against God's will and they mock God. So blessed is the one who does not travel that way, who does not walk with the wicked or faithless, who does not stand among sinners, who does not sit in the assembly of scoffers. So maybe you imagine first falling into step with someone on the sidewalk and striking up a conversation as you walk along. And then you join them and their friends standing at the edge of a concert. And finally, sitting together in a lunchroom, hanging with their crowd. There's a progression of increasing intimacy, moving from casual acquaintance to complete identification, from thinking to behaving to belonging with the wrong crowd. This is what you do not want to do. That first path leads nowhere, except maybe to the edge of a cliff, and the only thing that can happen next is that you fall over and perish. Along the other way travel the people who lean on the Lord, who read God's word. These are the people whom God watches over as they walk along the path. The two ways are laid out so clearly here, probably because it is the beginning of the prayer book. When you work with early learners, you want to begin with clarity. And then as people gain more experience, they learn that not every situation has an obviously right or wrong answer. The right path may be harder to decipher, and the character of the company you keep may be harder to discern. Everywhere we turn, there are people who cleverly disguise wicked advice or who make a mockery of godliness. It may even seem that the scoffers are among us. Additionally, it's important to pay attention to other things that influence us. Not only the company we keep, but also what we read, what we watch, what we do with our time. Do we immerse ourselves in things that distract us from what God's calling us to? Or do we surround ourselves with people who hold us accountable? Do we invest in activities that demonstrate kindness? Do we steep ourselves in Scripture? Do we find delight in the Lord's teaching? And then that brings us to a second vivid image, the tree. The tree by the running water. Blessed is the one who does delight in the law of the Lord, the Torah, the Word of God that tells the story that guides our lives. Blessed is the one who meditates on or recites God's word day and night. In other words, all the time. That one is like a tree planted by streams of water that produces its fruit in season, whose leaves do not wither, who succeeds in everything. Now, the Hebrew word for planted suggests transplanted, that the tree has been moved and transplanted or brought to a better place so that its roots are able to reach down to the streams of water. It's not by our own work that we find ourselves there, but by the Lord's work, the master gardener who plants the faithful ones, the blessed and happy people who have been transplanted into a good and pleasant place. Vibrant springs of water nourish those who are immersed in God's word so that they are fruitful and flourish. Derek Kidner, an Old Testament scholar, offers a winsome explanation of how the tree gives fruit in season. He says this emphasizes both the distinctiveness and the quiet growth of the product. For the tree is no mere channel piping the water unchanged from one place to another, but a living organism which absorbs it to produce in due course something new and delightful, proper to its kind and its time. And he continues, the promised immunity of the leaf from withering is not its independence of the rhythm of the seasons, but freedom from the crippling damage of drought. Thus the tree flourishes under the care of God, the master gardener. And this tree in the psalm is contrasted with worthless chaff, dust that disappears in the wind. The faithful people, like that dust, will not survive the judgment. They will no longer stand nor be allowed to sit in the community, the fellowship, the assembly of the faithful. The way of the wicked perishes. This is the warning of a loving father, a parent who wants his child to walk in the right path and avoid trouble, avoid destruction. So from the beginning of this wonderful book of prayers, God the Father provides a guide for abundant life and cautions his people against choosing the wrong path. The company you keep matters at any stage of life. At any age, you can choose good companions wherever you walk or stand or sit, people who can help you stay in the right path. Donald Miller, the author of Blue Like Jazz and other books, once described how we become like the people we hang out with. He wrote, "In fact, if I wanted to know who you were going to be 5 years from now, I'd want to spend a little time with the folks you spend time with. That would tell me who you are going to become." Miller argues we should consider just letting some relationships go. He said sometimes he's asked whether Jesus would ever walk away from somebody. My answer is that not only he would, Jesus did. He goes on, in the story of the rich young ruler, Jesus asked him to follow him, to join him, to develop a relationship on his terms. And the rich young ruler declined, as we know. And Jesus stood and grieved because he loved the young man. And then Jesus walked away. Jesus didn't go live with the man, giving up his important mission to settle down and play video games and swim in the guy's pool. Jesus walked away. Miller says, sometimes we take the idea that Jesus goes after the lost sheep to mean that we should become like the unhealthy people around us. But this, of course, is foolish. We should have a direction in life. We should become people who are more and more sanctified. And we should be inviting others to join us. And if they won't come, we grieve, but we move on all the same. Some relationships simply aren't good for us. You're not rejecting them. They're choosing not to come along with you. And this brings us back to Psalm 1. Sometimes we need to just walk away from bad company. Instead, we may choose to accept Jesus' invitation to follow him and abide with him. Using another planting, gardening image, Jesus reminds us that he is the vine, and we are the branches, and we must remain grafted in him, connected to the life-giving sap. And Jesus' words must remain in us. Like Psalm 1 says, the person who delights in the word of God is like that tree with roots growing down to the water, to the life-giving streams, the flowing streams. And when we're connected to the vine with those roots growing down to the water, we bear much fruit, a sign of the life in us. And Jesus also said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And so the early church talked about Christianity as the way that Paul and the other early Christians followed, the way that Jesus invites us to walk in. That's the way that the psalmist calls the way of the righteous. Psalm 1 ends with this promise. God watches over the way of the righteous. You who are faithful, God has chosen you and transplanted you by streams of living water. And that reminds me of that lovely stained glass artwork just outside the sanctuary there, with the marvelous water running below grapes and wheat, signifying the sacraments of communion and baptism. And we remember that Jesus called himself also the living water. And in the living waters of baptism, God claims you as his own, and this is an amazing gift. So immerse yourself in God's grace and choose well what to do with that gift and choose to walk in God's ways. God invites us to delight in the word, to flourish in God's way, like a tree, to be fruitful and to prosper. And as we practice immersing ourselves in God's word, we learn how to talk with God in daily prayer and in songs of praise. So I invite you also to read the Psalms regularly along with the other scriptures. Learn the Psalms by heart so they can speak into your life and so that they can help you to remember the Lord watches over the way of the faithful. Blessed is the one who delights in the Torah, the law of the Lord. That person is like a tree planted by streams of living water. As we conclude, I invite you to listen to Psalm 1 again, this time in Cal Sierveld's translation. He's a philosopher who specialized in aesthetics and wrote a book called Voicing God's Psalms with contemporary translations. Sierveld introduces Psalm 1 as a love letter from God, a beatitude. Blessed are the transplanted people, the women, men, and children who leave godless shenanigans behind and become rooted in the ways of the Lord. Let's listen.
That man or woman is a happy one who does not practice the clever thought habits of godless people, who does not go stand around the way sinners do, or sit down with mocking, scoffing company. That man or woman is a happy one, whose pastime rather is the Torah of the Lord, who ruminates on the Torah of the Lord day and night. That person is like a tree transplanted near running waters, a tree that bears its fruit on time, and whose leaf does not wither. All that man or woman does is prosper. It is not so with the godless people. They are like chaff which the wind blows to bits. That is why godless people, the sinners within the covenantal congregation too, that is why they cannot and shall not withstand judgment. They are like chaff. The wind blows to bits. The Lord God keeps close watch on the way of life the tried and true faithful lead. The way the wicked walk, however, shall end in permanent destruction.
Now, before we sing our song of response to Psalm 1, I'd like to share a quick story about the best Psalm 1 song that I know, that song we sang earlier, the tree song. Steve and Sally Stejink wrote to me when they saw that it was going to be in the liturgy this week. They're not here, but they shared this story. They were on the steering committee for the Young Calvinist Convention that was held at Princeton University in 1976. And they commissioned Ken Miedema to write a theme song for that convention around the theme, Thrive in the Spirit. And the tree song was the result. And that song has been sung at conventions and in other places ever since, as was evidenced by how many of you knew that song. Roots growing down to the water, leaves and fruit, those images from Psalm 1 were how Ken Miedema imagined thriving in the Spirit of God. Isn't that beautiful? So we're not going to sing that song again. Instead, we're going to sing When We Walk with the Lord, which is another song that reminds us how to be happy or blessed in Jesus. Let's rise and